Let's pray. I like to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift that you've given us in the written word. We thank you that the written word engrafted in our hearts, received by faith, is and will and continues to change us from one glory to another. We love you. We thank you, Father. I ask that you prepare our hearts for the ministry of the word this morning. Holy Spirit, give to us this morning the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, and that we would know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us. Help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. You know what amen means? It means so be it. Every time you say amen to it, you're coming into agreement. You're saying, let it be with me, Lord. Come on, let it be with me. Oh, yeah, we're going to take tithe and offering. Thank you for waving the bag. Hallelujah. Wait, look at that. You guys want to give. Praise the Lord. You're all waving tithe envelopes at me. Come on. This is a great opportunity to give. The book of Hebrews says that here we receive the tithe and offering, but there he receives. So when you're giving, you're not giving to me. Don't give to me. Don't think, oh, I'm doing this to bless my local body, to bless the local church. I'm doing this as a sign of my trust in him. Every time we give a tithe and an offering, we give it to him, and we do it by faith. Amen. Let's get a couple ushers to come forward. Thank you guys for reminding me for that. Look at that. Dad's up ushering already. Look at him. Four-way bypass, valve replacement, just a month ago. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are our provider. We're not our own providers. Everything we have comes from you. Everything that is was created by you. And so we just take this time to offer in obedience, to give tithes and offerings to you. And we know that you receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm halfway tempted to take my boots off, but I'm not going to do that. Of course, I could declare this is holy ground and have to take my, but I'm not wearing sandals. Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and take care of something. I was going to meet with the board after church, and people have schedules, and I don't want to interrupt with those schedules. So we're going to not meet real quick today. You guys just go off and do what you need to do, and that'll be fine. All right. We've been talking about the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus. And what does it mean that we have the faith of Jesus? The faith of God. What does that mean? Does it mean just some sort of little, we've got a mustard seed in our heart now? No. It means we believe what we say and we believe what we do with the same veracity that God does. When God stepped out and he said, let there be light, there was light. And because God knows he doesn't go back on his own word, we talked about this last week, that God is not a liar, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. God doesn't say one thing and then change his mind and say, oh, well, this is how we're going to do it now. He's not a liar. If he said it in the book of Genesis, then we believe it today. I even talked about last week how that, you know, we like to think of ourselves as modern and contemporary, and we can read all kinds of things in to the biblical account, and maybe the 6 days was 6 billion years, you know, or however long we want to make it, because science tells us that carbon dating shows that the earth is billions of years old. But if we believe God, then we have to believe that he created it. We have to believe that there wasn't a big bang. And suddenly, stuff that was not there was suddenly there without any direction, and things just evolved on their own. We have to believe the biblical account. We have to believe that Abraham pleased God by faith. We have to believe that there was a great flood. Come on, it didn't just cover the Mediterranean. Okay, some people, well, you know, it just covered that, you know, that that fertile plateau there in the Babylonian area, and it wasn't really the whole earth. It was just this. No, there was a worldwide catastrophic flood. We have to believe that. God said it happened. The waters from the deep came up and flooded the whole earth. Rain came out of the sky and flooded the whole earth. It all happened. It was catastrophic. Have you ever seen the results? I've got so many notes and I'm already way off on them. Have you ever seen what happened after Mount St. Helens erupted? That canyon that formed out of that catastrophic event of melting ice and snow that came down off the mountain and washed away a canyon that looks like the Grand Canyon from one volcano. Imagine, because people like to talk about the Yosemite crater, because Yellowstone is a giant caldera, and it's a giant volcano. Imagine if that erupted, what catastrophic things would happen. I mean, the earth was in chaos. If you see the things that happen in a tidal wave and how it wreaks havoc, just even a small tidal wave, just a couple feet high, coming in across great lands, and how it ruins things and destroys things completely and utterly. Imagine that on a worldwide event, what that would do. Why else are we find oceanic fossils high up in the mountains? Because they were underwater, right? All right, so we have to believe that. We have to believe that when God said that those things happened, that they happened. If we don't, and we say, well, you know, the Bible says this, but science says that, so we're going to side with science and you know, the story of Noah, we're just going to pare it down and make it something smaller, something less significant, then God isn't actually honest. Right? But he's not a man that he should lie. Like my dad says, God can't lie, because if he says something, then it becomes the truth. So if he says this is true, but then says something that is contrary to that is true too, then God is double-minded. Scripture says, let not a double-minded man think he's going to receive anything from God. We don't get to just believe whatever the world says. More and more, science is confirming the biblical account. All right, so we talked about that. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. It's this father brings his son to Jesus' disciples, and his son, they in some translations they call him a lunatic. He probably had like epileptic seizures or something like that, and that the kid would toss himself. He'd get these seizures or something that would come over him, and he'd toss himself in the water or be tossed in the flames. You know, whatever it was trying to kill him, was trying to destroy his life. And he came to Jesus' disciples, right? And what happened when he came to Jesus' disciples? He wasn't healed, right? Jesus comes. Verse 21. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often has he thrown him both into the fire and unto the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, if you can do anything, the man is coming with a great big badge on his chest that says, I don't really believe, I have doubt. If my home sells, come on, anybody trying to sell a house? If it sells, if I ever get this car paid off, if we ever get this credit card paid off, come on. If God ever keeps his promise about giving us children, Abraham and Sarah, right? If is a big doubt. The man says to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can. believe. All things are possible to him who believes. The word believe is the Greek word pistos, which is the same word used for faith. It's interchangeable throughout the New Testament. Belief and faith are the same word. What do you believe? Do you believe that your car is going to get paid off? Do you believe that your house is going to sell? Do you believe that you're going to get the asking price or that there might be a bidding war on your home? Do you, listen, we sold a house and we had it for so long, we just believed God to get rid of it. Come on. We were just believing God to get rid of it. We made a little bit of money, paid a couple things off. Come on. If we can believe, all things are possible. Do you believe all things are possible? Do you believe that? Do we believe that all things are possible if we believe? Now, what does that mean? All things are possible. Is it limiting? Does it limit what you can believe God for? Where's our belief in? Is our belief in the stuff, or is our belief in the one who promised? Because if our belief is in the stuff, if our faith is in the stuff, then our faith isn't directed properly at the one in whom we're having faith. We're to have faith in him. If he said all things are possible, then that leaves nothing out. All things. Well, you don't understand. My marriage is so bad. You don't understand. My family has always been like this. Then what you're saying is, you don't think it's possible for God to intervene and to change what's going on. If I don't believe that, then what's the point of even praying about it? If I don't believe, then I'm just, well, I guess this is just the way it is. It's just the way God intended my... No. Don't blame God. God doesn't give us problems. No, we give ourselves problems. Our families, our things that happen, they come, but do not fear, I have overcome this world. If that means he's overcome it, if there's a problem in your family, if there's a problem in your life, you can overcome it by what you believe. Do you believe that he's able to restore your friendship with someone? Do you believe that he's able to restore a marriage? Do you believe that he's able to restore a child? Come on, I was the child believed for restoration. I was that child. Come on. He's the restorer. I have a friend who believes that a person who's in ministry, if they have fallen into sin, cannot be restored back into ministry. That means that there's a limitation on God's ability to restore somebody. That means that you don't, that person doesn't really believe that someone who's fallen into sin can be restored. Listen, Paul, come on. Paul, I mean, he's standing there, Stephen is preaching up a storm. And the religious leaders, man, they don't like it. They do not like it at all. And when he gets done and he says, oh, look, the heavens are opened and I see the Son of Man standing. And they thought, that's blasphemy. And they're going to stone him. And they stoned him. And who's standing there collecting the coats of those who were stoning? Saul. Saul of Tarsus. The Apostle Paul. Paul later writes, because he was a leader, he was a Pharisee. Paul later writes, I have done no man wrong. I've harmed no one. How do you get to that place? Because you believe. You believe that God can restore. You believe that God can take your brokenness. You believe that God can take your faults. You believe that God can take the things that you've done wrong and that he can work on you on the inside and fix you and restore you and set things at right again. That's what salvation is about. Setting it right again, what went wrong in the garden. Jesus is called the second Adam for a reason. Because he's the one who comes after the first Adam and he sets things right again. He removes the middle wall of separation that kept us from God. That law of sin and death, that if you sin, you will die. You disobey me, you're going to die. It wasn't a threat. It was an instruction. Listen, I'm telling you now, don't eat from this tree. Because if you do, you're going to die. So don't eat from it. Someone might say, well, why put the tree there in the first place? Because we have free will. We have to. We have to be able to decide how we're going to live our lives. We have to be given the opportunity to choose. Because if we don't have the opportunity to choose, we're artificial intelligence. I'm just AI. I don't have a choice. I'm just a computer running a simulated program. Right? We have to have the ability to choose. So this man has come and he's had the disciples pray for him. And it didn't happen. So now he's got doubt. Because he's going to be like so many who had heard about Jesus, who had heard about the miracles that he'd done, who'd heard about the people that raised from the dead, right? Maybe he's heard about the woman with the issue of blood. Maybe he's heard about lepers being healed by Jesus. But he's come to the disciples and nothing happens. Is it his fault or is it the disciples' fault? It's his fault. The blame comes on him. It's not God. God didn't let him down. He didn't believe. His faith was in someone else's miracle. His faith was in only Jesus can do this. Remember the centurion who said, if you'll just but speak the word only, I know that it'll be done. And Jesus said, such great faith. He said, you don't have to go. You don't have to come and lay hands. Just speak the word only. That man had great faith, didn't he? If you'd just speak the word. He said, all I need is the word. You tell me it's so, and I believe it's so. Right? Verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out, of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Why? Because he believes in his heart all things are possible. Up here, he's just witnessed it not happen, though. Here, he's got faith. Romans 10, faith is of the heart. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Romans 10 says, with the heart one believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith is of the heart. It matters what we believe in our heart. The man has witnessed his son have hands laid on him and not be healed. So now he's got some mental unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I have been in that case so many times. I remember when Faith was having her first, she was having the PDA ligation, where they take this valve and they close it off with staples, and she weighed 14 ounces. And they're opening her little body up. And they're going to put staples in a valve to close it because the valve didn't close on itself. And without closing it, she's going to drown in her lungs from her own blood. So they have to do it. She's too little for the medication that they can give to do that. Man, I had faith in my heart, but in my head, they were going to do this the week before, and there was an earthquake like 15 minutes before they were going to do it. And so I had this experience that something bad could happen during this process. And so I had doubt in my head, but I believed in my heart. I knew that she was going to live. I knew she was going to live. I mean, we'd already been through the worst of it with her. This in their minds was the simple thing. The doctors weren't worried about it. Oh, yeah, we do this all the time. It very seldom do we do it on 14 ounces, but this is very simple. It's a basic procedure. My wife, she doesn't have any doubt in her head. She's full of faith in her heart and full of faith in her mind. She doesn't have any doubt. But, man, I get off the elevator, and Kathy comes over, and she says, well, they just called and said everything's fine and Faith is doing great. She said, it looked like somebody had color washed my face. She said, I went from pale to color in my cheeks again. Sometimes we do things in faith and we don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know what the process is going to be, but we're just trusting him, and we're taking one step at a time, just like this man. Okay, I believe, help my unbelief. What happens? Jesus lays hands on him, and the boy is healed. He had faith. He had faith that it would happen. Mark 9:23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Faith is required to please God. Remember that from Hebrews 11:6? Come on, Hebrews 11:6. Can we pull that up there? Hebrews 11:6. Usually y'all are faster than me. Oh, now it's gone. Oh, there we go. Now without faith, it is sometimes you can. Maybe every other time. Frequently. No. Impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists, and he, come on, if you believe he exists and you believe that he's the God of the Bible, then you believe what he says about creation. You believe what he says about social matters. You believe what he says about all of it. You believe what he says because you believe he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. If we will draw near to him, he's drawing near to us, and he's rewarding us for diligently seeking him. I can't draw near to him just on Sunday morning. That's not diligently seeking him. I diligently seek him every day. I diligently seek him through study of the word. I diligently seek him in prayer. I diligently seek him when things come up. And I think, well, I don't know about that. I have to seek God on that because I don't know. Do you know there's a lot of things I don't know? And I'm okay with that because I know the one who knows all. And if I will seek him on what to do or how to handle the situation, he's going to draw near to me and he's going to help me. If you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you and he's going to help you. You might not know how it's going to happen. Come on, most of the time I don't know how it's going to happen. Sometimes I find out just before it happens how it's going to happen. Right? But that's faith. If I knew how it was going to happen, that's not faith. Right? If I knew that I needed $10,000 and I know who had $10,000 and I hinted at the person who has $10,000 all the time, oh, you know, I just really could use $10,000. Oh, we need $10,000. That's not faith. That's manipulation. Now I'm manipulating a person to give me $10,000. That doesn't require faith. That's the flesh. Anybody can do that. Come on. Oh, it's true. Now, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How often are you going to find the word impossible with and God combined together? Impossible with God. We've just read that all things are possible with God. The only other place you're going to find it is someplace like where it is impossible for God to lie. If it's impossible for God to lie, and it's impossible to please God without faith, then there are two things that it is impossible for God to do. One, to be moved by our need and our crying and our wallowing around about how we need something. Right? He's moved by faith. He's not moved by our circumstances. We're moved by our circumstances. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but he's not moved by it. He's moved by faith. We please God by faith. When we get out and we start doing things by faith. Come on, here's Abraham. Come on. Come on, Abraham, come out. I'm going to show you a place. A wonderful place. But, where is it? I'm not going to tell you. You just have to believe me. Come on, get your family and all of your possessions. Pull everything together. Come on, I'm going to show you a place. Where? You got to trust me. The children of Israel. Coming out of Egypt. Come on. We're going to go. We're going to a land flowing with milk and honey. There's the sea. You just brought us out here to die, didn't you? Well, let's part the Red Sea. God doesn't take us out somewhere to destroy us. He takes us out somewhere so that he can fulfill his plan and purpose and call for our lives. It's not always comfortable, but it is always necessary when it comes to pleasing God to walk by faith. It's okay to doubt here sometimes. But ultimately, we have to be like Abraham and Sarah, and we say, well, he's always been faithful before. Come on, you're 90. Your husband's 99. You're going to have a child. Susan says, don't look at me. John and Susan, when they get married, are not planning to have more children. I think we can take that, you know, that God hasn't spoken to them. Praise God. Mark 16:16. Some people, they say, oh, well, you just think everything's by faith. Well, Jesus is a faith preacher. He's a faith preacher. He says all things are possible by faith. If you believe, right? All things are possible to him who believes. Mark 16:16 says, he who believes. This is Jesus. I know because in my Bible it's red letters. And leading up to it, it's Jesus speaking. He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, you didn't, when you heard that Jesus was the Savior, you just didn't say, well, okay, maybe so. I don't know. I mean, you either believed or you didn't believe. You're either saved or you're not saved. Right? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Given a second chance, come back in another life, end up in purgatory and you know, get to sit there and think it out. No. He who does not believe will be condemned. This is Jesus. Oh, grace, grace, Pastor. Grace, grace. Ananias and Sapphira. Does that satisfy grace? Come on. He says, if you believe, you'll be saved. If you don't, you'll be condemned. Whose choice is it? It's my choice. It's my choice whether I have eternal life with him or I'm condemned into hell for eternity. It's my choice. It's not my mama's choice. It's not my grandma's choice. I don't get to heaven because my dad's a good man. I don't get to heaven because my mom served in church and had Bible studies. That's not how I get there. I get there because I believe. I believe on him. I'm connected to him by faith. It's my choice. If I don't connect with him, then I know where I'm going. And it's not to be with him for eternity. If I don't believe. These are the words of Jesus, right? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. I'm saved. I believe. I believe that he's the Savior. Come on, do you believe that he's your Savior? Do you believe? Come on, you're going to spend eternity with Jesus. That's the best thing ever. I get to spend eternity with Jesus. It doesn't matter what kind of stuff I go through here. It doesn't matter how many temptations and tribulations and trials I go through here. Because he said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but don't fear because I've overcome this world. That means if I can just stay with him and walk with him day by day in faith, believing that I am pleasing, then I am pleasing because I am walking with him by faith. I am pleasing him. And even if I mess up occasionally, because everybody messes up occasionally, right? We all do. But like we said with communion this morning, come on, every day you can get right with him. Every morning, Lord, I start fresh and new with you today. Oh, I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping me to imitate you. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping me to become stronger. I thank you that you're helping me to become more like you. More of you and less of me, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Come on. Every day. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Mark 9:29. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Mark 11:24. 11:23 through 24. Start verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The actual translation of that, if you break down the words and you get away from just looking at the actual text, it actually says, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. It's an active participation. If God said something, he believed it was going to happen. If you say something, believe it's going to happen. That's the faith of God. It doesn't mean God takes a piece of his faith and puts it in our hearts. It means that we start to act like him. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. For assuredly, this is Jesus, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Yeah, Jesus is a faith preacher. Jesus preaches faith. Jesus is the ultimate faith preacher because he's the ultimate. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the one promised from the foundations that was going to come and he was going to set things right and he was going to crush Satan. And he says, if you believe, you will have whatsoever things you believe. Maybe not right this second. It took Abraham a while, didn't it? Sometimes in the Bible, it says, as they went, they were healed. Sometimes you got to walk it out. It's not always instantaneous. It's not always immediate. But on that day when God spoke and he said, let there be light, there was light. We should be able to at least be acting and imitating. You know, throughout the New Testament, Paul says, even in 1 Corinthians 11, he starts the chapter off with saying, imitate God. My son is 7. When I get up here, he wants to come up here. Why? Because daddy's up here. He wants to hold the microphone. He wants to preach. Why? Because he's imitating me as a dearly loved child. Paul tells us to imitate God as a dearly loved children, to imitate his actions, to imitate his behaviors, to imitate the things that he does. Someone said imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Come on. Imitating God is easy if we know what God does, if we know what God says, if we line up with the things that he says. You know, because I'm not sitting around waiting for God to move my mountain, because that's not faith. Faith is speaking to the mountain. Faith is speaking to the mountain. I talked about that a few weeks ago. Kathy, their church in Peters Creek, Alaska, when she was a kid, they had this beautiful building and they didn't have enough parking. And there was this mountain. And so the leadership in the church got together and they commanded the mountain to be moved. That week, now this is Kathy's actual testimony. She was a part of the church. Laquita looked it up. She saw it on Google. She found out it was actually true. And it's happened in more than one case for people. The leadership got together, prayed, cast the mountain into the sea. That week, a construction company comes up to the church, says, hey, we need a bunch of fill dirt for a project we're doing. Can we take dirt from your mountain? Come on, we'll pay you for it. Not only did God move the mountain, but he gave them money for doing it. Come on, God is a rewarder of those who believe. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Come on, this is a real life actual testimony. I was at a wedding reception last Sunday with a whole bunch of people that were part of that. Come on, right here in Sacramento. Glory to God. Listen, if we speak to the mountain and we believe and we have faith in our hearts that what God said was going to happen is going to happen, even if we literally speak to a mountain, it's going to be moved. God's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of faith. He's not a rewarder of need. Oh, praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, impossible, it is impossible for him to lie. It is impossible that if God says it's impossible for us to please him without faith, therefore it's impossible for him to lie. That means it's impossible that if we're in faith that we're not pleasing him. If I'm in faith, I'm pleasing him. Otherwise, he's a liar. And he's not a liar. He's not a liar. Can't go back over everything. I have faith that God is my protector. I have faith that he is my provider. I have faith that he's watching over my family as they drive. I have faith for that. I believe, like Jesus said in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, he said, let us cross over to the other side. And then a storm comes, and the disciples get all caught up in the storm. They start crying, oh, Jesus, are you just going to let us die here in the boat? He said, have you no faith? He didn't coddle them, put them under a blanket, set them next to him, pat their heads. He said, O ye of little faith, how long? How long must I suffer with you? Then he spoke, and the winds quieted down. Hey, come on, if you're in the boat with Jesus, if you're living your life with Jesus, if he says you're going someplace, then you're going someplace. It doesn't matter if there's speed bumps on the road. You might get slowed down sometimes because this world is full of speed bumps. This world is full of people who say, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to write a check to so-and-so at church, but that's just my flesh because I really need that money. But what if your act of obedience is the door that opens up what God's trying to get to you to bless you? You know, I really don't have time to volunteer. But if you had time to volunteer, if you took the time to volunteer, if you took the time to do the thing that God has put on your heart. I knew this guy once, and we were talking. He said, because my wife and I had just graduated from Rhema Bible College in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he says, oh, I did their correspondence course. I said, oh, that's awesome. I said, well, what ministry do you think you're called to? He says, what do you plan to do? And he says, well, I believe I'm called to pulpit ministry. I said, well, praise the Lord. What are you doing? Well, nothing. I'm waiting for God to open a door for me to be in pulpit ministry. I said, you working with children or youth or cleaning bathrooms? No, I just believe I'm called to pulpit ministry. I believe God will open the door. You know that man is still waiting like 20 years later? That door has never been opened because he's never actually done anything to lead him in that direction. He's never done any of the diligently seeking God through the available opportunities that are afforded. Because there are many opportunities to be in ministry. I spent most of 20 years cleaning toilets. I still clean toilets here. Yeah. I'm going to get the weed whacker this week and get down all those weeds over here. You know, because there's stuff that needs to be done. Ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. Right, Michael? Man, come on. Ministry is work. All right. Good Lord, we haven't even got into today's really good notes yet. Am I fading in and out? It's probably, you know, because of this. Sorry. All right. We have faith that God is our protector, our deliverer, our savior, our provider. Then we don't have fear if we believe those things about him. I don't have fear of not having enough if I know he's my provider. I don't have fear of being attacked and murdered if I know he's my protector, right? I don't have fear of ending up in condemnation for eternity because I believe that he's my savior. I don't have those fears. Faith removes fear. Or we can let fear remove faith. Don't let faith be squelched by fear. Fear of not having. Faith requires expectation. And it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. When people see that all your bills are paid, all your needs are met, you're not sick and depressed, you're not the person that's always over there whining and complaining about how bad things are. Oh yeah, you know, God, He let me lose my job, and they foreclosed on my house. And, oh, the repo company came and took my car. But bless God, he's such a good God. Come on down and join us for church. Right? Come on. The world's already got that Savior. They've already got that Lord. They've already got that Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God that draws us nearer to him so that we can draw near to him and he can draw near to us and we can have the goodness. We can have the good. Amen? All right, well, expectation is what we're going to get to next week. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Expectation. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us. Thank you for giving us life and that more abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for giving us and rewarding us and loving us and helping us. Thank you for being our protector. Thank you for being our healer. Thank you for being everything and all to us, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We praise you today, Father. I thank you. I just ask right now, Father, that you would help every person here to draw near to you, that their lives would continue to expand and to increase, that you would cause them to, as John 3, 3 John 2 says, that they would prosper and be in health, even as their souls prosper, Lord. I thank you that you're causing us to rise to the top like cream. I declare that we are the top only and not the bottom. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail, because we love you and obey you and trust you. And we thank you, Father, for every good thing that you've given to us. And we bless you, Father, for all the goodness that you have coming towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.